Hare Krishna. This is Dhanadhar Swami.
Hare Bhav, Maharaj.
Hare Bhav, thank you. I had to drive someplace, so I'm actually on the road. But I have both hands on the wheel. I just have an earpiece, so I'm okay. But I still will give class. Om Gyanat Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Daksuru Pulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Dapi Tam Yena Bhutale Chayam Bhuta Tadamayam Tadati Sapadam Tika Vansha Kalpa Tadugyasya Vipasindu Paye Vicha Vatitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Vyadvaita Gadadha Srivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, greetings from the road between the Sun's Falls and Hartford. I'm just going to visit Niranjan Swami. Rare opportunity to get that Sadhu Sangha of the exalted Vaishnavas. And again, what does Sangha mean? Sangha means the place where you open your heart with trust. Especially to get Krishna, and Krishna's in the hearts of the devotees. So the best way to best Sangha is the Association of Advanced Souls. And I always make the point that spiritual life is so difficult in the environment of the modern context. And it seems like the two most effective means to boost one's consciousness is Sadhu Sangha and Nam Kirtan. So I also try to live by that principle and take a veil whenever I can of Kirtan and Sadhu Sangha. In fact, when I'm in New York, I try to join Ram Roy's Kirtan as much as possible. Because the key is absorption. And especially kirtan, because all the senses are engaged. So even if the mind wanders, mind is still contacting spiritual phenomena, and it grows on you. My last post on my Facebook, I said that the problem with sadhu is generally not time, it's taste. And someone asked, well, how to get the taste? Well, it's kind of a what's it called? There's a word for it. A catch 22, but not exactly. To get taste, you need time. So you have to take the time, which you have, and then taste will come. Bhakti Sanjayate Bhakti. It's just like it, yoga meditation means that the mind is fixed, and then that's yoga. When the mind, it's not yoga when the mind is fixed, not fixed. You have to fix your mind, at least to the best of the ability. And to the extent you do that, you will get the fruit. Of course, bhakti is not done for a fruit, but that's the paradox of bhakti. It's done for purification, it's done to love Krishna. But we become happy. Why? Because the devotee, the pleasure of God, becomes our own. I'm sorry I missed last week. I was in a place with no cell phone reception. Those of you that are on Facebook or even YouTube, if you can get YouTube, my Facebook page has a little video done, Bhakti Immersion Retreat. It's also on YouTube, Bhakti Immersion Retreat. You can get an idea. It was really wonderful. And for me, I'm going to speak a little personally. It was kind of extremely satisfying because I felt it was the culmination of my efforts for so many years in America that I wanted to share the legacy and wealth of our tradition, which I am so grateful for. I don't know why I am so lucky to be connected to such a line that can fill my heart with love, which is the goal of life, and give me so many facilities to do so, including the association of so many wonderful people. But I wanted to share this with people in America, not just young, frustrated, often youths, and not just people who already have embraced that culture, but people established within America, and it was wonderful. I mean, we had 45 people. And I understood also how spiritual movements grow. Of course, the philosophy must be there. Because if doubts are not clear, one will not move in any direction. Where doubts are too strong, or move slow in that direction. But really, what people want to experience is a community, a society, where people are spiritually fit enough where love flows. And in the tradition of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, there's a science, actually. I mean, the Krishna book, the Bhagavatam, what it's ultimately doing is explaining rasa. And what is rasa? Rasa is an overwhelming emotion. Ours is bhakti rasa, an overwhelming emotion of devotion. That is our goal. That is our objective. That's our ultimate attainment. Prema Pumartha Mahan. The greatest art or the greatest value is that prema. But how is that prema born? It's born in a particular setting that facilitates those emotions. If you look at the Bhagavatam, it's purely love of Godhead, but there is the proper setting. It's Svakeli Sampat. There are assets for relationships. Svakeli Sampat. And there are the appropriate people whom relate in appropriate ways in different relationships. And there are the proper activities or actions in those relationships. There's the feelings of love itself among one another, and there are accessory emotions. And basically, it's called Staibhav, Vaibhav, Anubhav, Satvikabhav, Sancharibhav. So, my contribution to festivals, I have a vision of how to create that environment. And we had this retreat. I couldn't imagine a setting that was more beautiful, more conducive to what we wanted. We had very wonderful people filled with activities. And what happens by the end of the retreat, people are experiencing love. It's thick. Wherever they go, there are relationships that stimulate them. And therefore, you know, it's kind of swimming in an ocean of affection. And it has a very profound effect on people. Of course, the most important thing is that any group or society must have a common objective where they can dedicate themselves to above the ego, where you're happy to step out of the center. Because there is a goal. Because there is a goal. Of course, people can have an objective, and you can easily tie that objective to your own ego. But spiritual society means people are happy not to be in the center. And they're happy to come into a congregation or a church where the center of focus is God. In the spiritual world, the Gaudiya conception, that center is Krishna. And in a society where that center is kept intact, then love flows. And beauty is there. You cannot separate beauty from love, because love makes one beautiful. And one who is loving, he makes the environment beautiful as an offering of love. So, it was really, really wonderful and very nice people. And I please watch that video if you can. You'll get an idea. I also posted pictures. We had a very good videographer and photographer that kind of, I think, captured the essence of it. And I think for next year, it was so successful, really, that I think we'll just do it by personal invitation rather than advertising. Because we almost filled up the retreat center as it is. And I think we'll have to make it two separate sessions. I can't read from the book now, but I can share with you some other realizations I have, and that's about communication. One of the things that I did at this retreat is from, and there are a lot of people that were absolutely green to Krishna consciousness. Absolutely. They had no connection with it. And but I would say 100%, the presentation was such that everyone felt very comfortable to hear and participate in what was more or less quite a direct presentation of Krishna consciousness, but not in the mood of conversion, in the mood of this is what we do, this is what we believe, in that sense. So I had a class at 9:30 to 10:45 where I was explaining Krishna Leela. And the question I asked the people, because I was really, really meditating deeply, because for me, these are very, very sacred moments when so many nice people congregate. I want to definitely do my best that they can understand what I have to share. And actually, if I don't succeed, I actually feel very bad, because I feel that I could have shared something very valuable. And, now the person could avail themselves of the opportunity because I wasn't prepared in the right way. So I do prepare. I do believe that organization and preparation facilitates spontaneity. I mean, that center was so organized. It was so easy for me to make a retreat there. It was, and because it was organized, you didn't have to think of the management. Neither the leaders nor the people participating didn't have to think of the management. So it facilitated a very, very spontaneous flow of devotion. So I also prepare so I don't have to think about what I'm speaking about, that it's already at the tip of my tongue. And often when I'm doing Krishna Leela, I read the story many, many times. You know, as Ernest Hemingway said, I repeated this many times. I'm sorry, he said, that the letter was so long, but I didn't have enough time to prepare. So I wanted to prepare so I could make a short class. Basically, my class started with a half hour by Vishwambhara Kirtan and 15 minutes at the end, and I spoke for about a half hour. So I had a lot to say, and I really, really wanted to be able to condense it, and that takes a lot of preparation. What I do is I read the stories over again, I take notes, and then if it's Krishna Leela, then after chanting for a while, I just go through the story and pray to the story if I follow. And then there comes a particular time where I feel I have the subject. But still, I was meditating how to do this, how to capture the people. So I began with a particular question. And I often like to do this when I speak, because especially when the audience, as this audience has, or when an audience doesn't have a familiarity with you or a particular predisposed faith, it's very, very important to establish that connection at the beginning. So what I did was I asked the question, why would it be difficult for me? Why would it be difficult for me to speak if my mother had come to the retreat? And then I explained it, because she does not have a frame of reference for what I'm saying. Where the basic audience here was interested my mother would come because she's interested in me. But they come because they're interested in yoga. They're interested in bhakti. They have faith in me. They have faith in Raghunath. And any entertainer and any teacher, any artist, understands that an audience has to become one mind. Otherwise, the presentation is impeded. Of course, sometimes if there's an odd person out or two, maybe a good speaker can just ignore them and continue to speak anyway. But I'm not like that. I'm thinking of everyone. And I think most good teachers do. So you have to create one mind. It's even a component in some poetic theory, dramatic theory, that for rasa to be experienced, or what the teacher and the mood that the teacher has to convey to be experienced, it's required that all the audience have the same experience. You have to create one mind. So I explained this to the audience. How would I create that was my necessity, but I also explained to them, but still, even though you've all come, there was such a variance in the audience. There were mature bhaktis, there were people born into the movement, there were people that were coming from the first time. So I asked them some questions to try to create that frame of reference so that I could share Krishna Lila with them in a way in which they would have sufficient faith to attentively listen and understand or feel the knowledge and sublimity that is being communicated. So, what I did is I explained to them the challenges I have when I go to the university. And I explained about one class where, Professor Brian's class, where he's teaching Hindu philosophy. And, you know, he just happened to be up to Ramanujacharya and gave me a chapter to speak on. That the students were responsible to read, and it was on Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. So the question that I asked the students, and I told the people there, I'm going to ask you the same question. If you were the Supreme Lord and could create any world, create a perfect world, create a spiritual world, a perfectional world, what would it be like? It's also very helpful when you're speaking to sometimes make the audience active rather than passive. Active means that they're generating their own ideas and thoughts, which involve them personally. So, I honestly asked them, did anyone create an amorphous mass as their perfectional state of faith? Because people have a conception that perfection all is one. Do you really believe that? You really believe that perfection means annihilation of the individuality? Does that make sense? Is that a reasonable conception? Based on your own experience of what is of truth? I asked another question. If you have a conception of the perfectional state, what would that feel like? Even devotees, think about it. What would perfection feel like? What would it not feel like? And then I was able to explain that the Gaudiya Vaishnav, the Vaishnav conception, was that you would feel love. Not only love, overwhelming love. You would feel rasa, you would be consumed by love. And I explained, that's what Krishna's pastimes embody, what Krishna's pastimes represent. And I asked him, in a perfect conception of reality, would there be beauty? Well, if there's love, there should be beauty. Because love entails, you know, I found an incredible definition of bhakti. I told the audience, and they appreciated this, that for 40 years I've been searching for a concise definition that explains bhakti. And I finally found it in the Bhakti Sandarbha, and I was overwhelmed. And it said, the essence of bhakti is expressed as seva, which is loving responsiveness to the Lord with the faculties of the mind, the body, and the words. Seva. Bhakti is seva, which is loving responsiveness to the Lord with the faculties of the mind, the body, and the words. Loving responsiveness. It's coming from a relationship. It's coming from an object of love, which is God. It's the natural response that you have to God, to serve God. It's a feeling. It's a feeling that's expressed. And isn't that what Prabhupada said? Why he said that bhakti means devotional service? So, I explained that this, what you're going to read in the pastimes of Krishna, is this conception of a perfected existence where the inhabitants are overwhelmed with the mood of seva, with the mood of devotion, which seeks to be expressed to the object of devotion. Then the next point that I explained to the people, there, is, that was my first class. The second class, I said I'm going to ask a question for the people. Who are already in this tradition. I said that there are two books about Krishna. The main book is Bhagavad Gita, the words of Krishna, and the Bhagavatam. And the Bhagavatam, which is the story of Krishna. But I said it's extremely significant because Krishna has unlimited pastimes. That in both these books, Krishna appears to us in the same place. Krishna appears to us in both places at the same place. On the chariot of Arjuna as the position of the driver. In other words, God doesn't appear to us in a superior position. And then I wanted to make the point clearly, in our conception, the supremacy of being is not position, it's personality. And personality means what? The expression of love in different relationships. So although God has position, position alone is not enough for supremacy. People with big positions and powerful positions can be very cruel. Personality is the supremacy of being. And in fact, position impedes the expression of personality in all its facets. Because when you are in a natural position of authority, the intimate sides of yourself must be hidden. It's so natural. Because the intimate sides impede the feelings of love of those who have a relationship of appreciation and greatness. Or it's confusing, as Lord Brahma was confused, and Krishna was sitting in the whirl of his cowherd boys, Sanan Bhagavatam, equal to them, exchanging love, exchanging love it was confusing. He was just joking equally. He had fruit, yogurt, rice. The yogurt and the juice of the fruit was dripping down his hand, and he was just exchanging equally. The words of the Bhagavatam were Yajna Bhuk Bala Keli, Yajna Bhuk Bala Keli. How is Yajna Bhuk, one who is eating Yajna Bala Keli, playing with boys? That's the purpose of the Brahma Vimohan Leela. To show, showing Lord Brahma, showing us, that the Madhurya conception, the sweetness, the love, is not in any way compromised. The position of Krishna. Because all powers are still within. But that is not exhibited so all the intimate can come up. Just like when the power is exhibited, then the intimate is hidden. When the intimate is revealed, the power is hidden. So in an Aishwarya conception, purely, one is thinking that God can only be that. But in the Madhurya conception, you accept both. He also has those powers. How about another advertisement on Thursday in Yoga Maya? I think it's 7:30. I'll be speaking on Sri Radha, her storm stories and philosophy, and it's the same challenge as Prabhupada did, how to put these things in a way in which people who hear them just don't think this is boy, girl. Don't project their own experience of those forms on the forms of Radha and Krishna, which is Yoga Maya, Upatrita. It's a manifestation of Yoga Maya. It's a manifestation of pure love. How the senses of Krishna can be pleased. It has nothing to do with any mundane conception. And Prabhupada in the purports explains, saying as Chaitanya Charitamrita, such a beautiful conception, how it's not at all contradictory that the gopis do not want to enjoy personally, but their pleasure is more than Krishna. The answer is, in love, their joy is the joy of their beloved. And that joy, one step removed from the experience, is actually a higher pleasure, because it's the pleasure of love. And in that love, you experience the same things as your beloved anyway. That's why the love of the younger gopis who don't want to enjoy with Krishna personally is called Manjari Bhav. Why is it called Manjari Bhav? Because the manjaris on the Tulsi plant, Tulsi manjaris, when the plant shakes, they also shake. Because the connection is so deep. So in that type of love, when Radha and Krishna enjoy, the manjaris experience deep love. And even experience all the, whatever you call, physical connection between Radha and Krishna. Tamrupa manjari saki patitapure smith. Balakush manjali. Raghunath Das Goswami in the first verse is praying to the Rupa manjari that even though your husband is not home, what is that red mark on your lip? What is that red mark on your face? They don't enjoy directly with Krishna, but the intensity of tadatmita, of oneness with the object of love, gives them the same experience. But to explain these confidential things, that's why Srimati Radharani is very, very hidden within the scriptures. Hariyar Adhikandunam Bhagavan Hariyar Kishvara Dino Vidhaya Govinda Vityam Anyatarata Anyatata. Who is that gopi? Hariyar Adhiko. No one has that capacity. To please Krishna to the same degree. Therefore, Radha is the embodiment of beauty. Because her love and beauty are what? A chaste woman, her love and beauty are what? Because to please, she wants to be beautiful for her husband. And therefore, her beauty is an offering for the pleasure of the husband. And therefore, an appropriate expression of her love. But in Srimati Radharani, that Mahabhav Swarup, that form of the most intense love, is her beauty. She's totally emotion, totally condensed love. And therefore, in spiritual life, in an appropriate way, we love to hear about her and try to enter and try to hanker that those feelings of selflessness and love may one day enter my heart, because that is the perfection. And unless you hanker for some perfection, you never come in contact with the perfection. And in fact, that hankering is a drop of the mood of devotion that you're seeking to attain. So I hope to somehow be able to express this and the quality. Love is supreme. Therefore, Prabhupada said in Vrindavan, Radha is supreme and Krishna is simply her decoration. Bhakti Siddhanta said, we worship Krishna only because Radha loves him so much. So it's a beautiful conception of Shakti, potency, energy. And if the energy is actually the energy of love, because it's seeking to please its source, with the consciousness to do so. And our spiritual life means to come in contact with that energy, to pray that that energy may flow through our hearts so that we can become instruments for the pleasure of the divine and enter into that reality. Because our acharyas tell us that that is the reality. And really, our part in the reality ultimately is to become a receptacle. By freeing ourselves of any form of misidentification that prevents us from experiencing the pure love, it's the misconceptions we have about ourselves that cover the soul. We are covered by our desires. One time, one guru told a disciple, I'm doing a yoga, you bring fire. You bring fire. So, it was a red, wet day, and the disciple went in various places to seek that fire. But he couldn't get any fire. And he came back empty-handed, and he told his guru, "I couldn't bring any fire." The guru was kind of an angry sort. So he looked at the disciple and said, "Go to hell." The disciple was a sincere chap. So he went to hell. And what did he see in hell? He saw everyone burning in fire. He was very happy, so he went to Yamaraj. He said, "My guru asked me for some fire. Can I bring some fire from here?" "We have so much fire here." He said, "No." Yamar said, "There's no fire here." Then the disciple said, "Look, all those people are burning." "Oh," he said, "that's not our fire." He said, "Then what is that burning?" He said, "They brought their own fire." Because what is fire? Fire is that sense gratification. Suffering is that selfishness. All suffering is attachments. I had the unique experience the last 3 weeks where everything went my way. I don't know what blessed planetary conjunction was over my head, but I'd never seen so many things line up with my desires in my whole life. To the minute detail, even that retreat, everything was auspicious, everything went the way I went, the relationships, the places, my schedule, nothing conflicted. So I was driving in my car and thinking everything is going great. And then I had an anxiety. Because I realized that on the platform of destiny, the way the world moves, it changes. No matter what you do to set up your life, it changes. And therefore, Srila Guru Govindamard said, "Those who are fortunate will become unfortunate. Those who are unfortunate will become fortunate." So I said, I do not want to be attached to this happiness because it will be taken away and I'll suffer more. And as one great soul said, a pinch of suffering is felt more intensely than a ton of happiness. It's just like if you're a sports fan and your team wins, you enjoy. But when your team blows it at the last minute and loses, you suffer much more than when your team, you feel it much more than when your team won. Nature. I did not want to be attached, so I thought, if God is making an easy situation for me, it's only because he wants me to perform austerity. Because I have to become detached. You have to become detached. The suffering is to make us detached. So if you're not suffering sufficiently, then perform some austerity. America is tougher booming. People are performing so many austerities. I can't imagine what it's like to raise a family in this country, in the modern culture. You're put in that situation because perhaps you were like me in your last life and you had 3 weeks where everything was coming up roses. Anyway, are there any questions? Could someone say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Varangi, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Yeah, I just, if you could just elaborate slightly more on the fact that when things are coming up roses in our lives, that is Krishna's, it happens like that because Krishna wants us to use that opportunity to make austerities?
Well, you know, I'm reading my destiny for myself as a sannyasi, but, you know, when I was in Vrindavan, these people came to serve under me, a grihastha couple. And they were living very simply. You know, especially Vrindavan is meant for purification and advancement. I said, why are you living so simply? They said, because Krishna is going to purify us, and we rather make it self-imposed. So that kind of stuck in my mind. So that conception, because it made sense to me living in Vrindavan. You have to move towards Krishna, which means you have to become detached. What is liberation? Muktir itva yata rupa sarupena vivastita. Muktir itva. Liberation means itva, to give up. What? Yata rupa. This is identification. So obviously when you're enjoying too much, you become absorbed in the conception that's allowing you to enjoy. I also heard Bhagavatam class from Gaurijan, how much suffering Yudhisthira underwent. Right? And then just after his whole life of hell, when everything was settled, then his uncle leaves home. Dhritarashtra leaves home. And, you know, it was disturbing to him. It was his uncle, even though the war, whatever the case is. And Bhurijan Prabhu made the point that often Krishna does that when we become complacent. He makes sure he pinches us. Kind of pinches us. So, from the statement by that Grihastha couple and the statement by Bhurijan from the Bhagavatam and from my own experience, but it came from hearing from those two people, I kind of thought, yeah, this is right. That's what I was thinking. Everything's nice. Thinking what Bhurijan said, yeah, there will be a pinch. There'll be a pinch, so I don't start to think that this is the place for me and that the goal of life is to have a world where I can control things to move exactly according to my desires. Is that helpful for you, Gurangi?
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you very much.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances.
Is that Amiya?
Amiya, yes.
Yeah, I spoke to the lady who is doing the teaching that from your friends that visited you. And I will. Anyway, nice. I spoke to her yesterday. Great soul. Okay. Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to you for taking trouble every Sunday, giving us the opportunity to hear from you.
It's ecstasy. Here I am driving in the car, completely absorbed in Krishna Katha. Otherwise, I hate driving. The only easy ride I had is when I came from your home that day, and it was a 6-hour drive I don't know why it went so nicely, but okay, thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I have a question.
One at a time? Who is that?
Hare Bol, it's Abhi Manyu in Portland.
Hey, Abhi. Wow, what did you think of that video of the program?
Hey, it was a 10. That whole week, I'm still vibrating off that weekend.
I am too.
Yeah, I think annual, if not biannual, is the way to go.
So biannual. Definitely biannual.
Yeah, I'm in for sure.
Yeah, it was great. And did you see, when they showed the picture of the kirtan at the thing, did you see the picture behind of Raghunath tapping out? Okay, Haribo. Keep in touch, Abhi,
Haribo,
okay?
Yeah, perfect.
Okay.
Hey, Krishna.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna,
Henry, Haribo. I got to call you soon to coordinate whatever I'm doing. I'll probably do that later this afternoon or something. Okay, thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Oh, wow. I was blessed yesterday. I was giving a class in New Zealand on Skype, and then my phone rang. You know how you can see who's calling?
Mm-hmm.
And it was Giriraj Swami.
Sure.
So I can feel blissful. Hare Krishna. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
The Hare Krishna. Is that, who is that?
It's me in Florida. Mother Indrani.
That's Mother Indrani.
Yes, yes.
Krishna, thank you. So nice to hear from you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I know you're absorbing it all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else like to say hello? Okay. We'll go now. Thank you. Hi, Bo. Who else? Okay. We'll end now. Thank you all. Bunch of culture through this stuff.